Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's January, it's the 11th of January, it's 2017. It's Wednesday, and we only have six games to talk about here tonight, but it is a very interesting slate. We do have some tough decisions to make when we're looking at the slate, so while it might only be six games, it is still a tough one. And as always on Wednesday, Notorious, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Lineup's not looking too great tonight, but that's all right. And if you guys probably noticed, I didn't send out a thing on Twitter, but I have something else in store, so don't worry about that.
Of course you do. I was so excited. I was like, all right. He didn't send a question, and I was like, I was so pumped that he didn't send a question. And as always, we have this third person here. SBK, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? Good to be here. It's the first time in a few days it's not below freezing in Nashville, so I'm definitely enjoying that right now.
Yeah, first day in a long time I didn't have to wear a jacket today.
Whatever, Stevie.
Not cool, man.
how cold does it get in Nashville?
Nah, I mean, there was like the 20s and the teens this weekend. It's never usually this bad. This is like definitely probably the only time this will happen this year. This time of year it's cold if it's like, you know, in the high 30s, low 40s. It's definitely worse where you are for sure.
Listen, I got up Sunday morning and my windshield was frozen.
Did you know what to do?
Dumbfounded? Yeah. I know what to do.
Okay.
Drive the windows down, right?
I'll get you there, I guess, yeah.
All right. Well, we have six basketball games, and Notorious, you're going to take home teams. SBK, you're going to take away teams. Anything we want to talk about before we move on to breaking down the slate? Let's get this thing started. We're going to start with New York at Philadelphia. We have a 210 total in this game. New York favored by two. On the New York side, there's no injury news that I'm seeing here. And then on the Philly side, the injury news, nothing so far. As always, we have to pay attention. We'll start with the visiting teams. SBK, you have New York. What's up?
Yeah, so this team is a little bit of a mess right now, obviously with the Derrick Rose situation. Things are not as great as Knicks fans were probably hoping, but still some definitely nice targets here. Carmelo Anthony is in a great spot once again. His price is, you know, it's basically him and LeBron at small forward tonight in terms of the high-end options. And my own FanDuel, Melo is about $2,000 cheaper. So he's a fine pivot down. Obviously, LeBron, a superior play, but probably going to carry a higher ownership in tournaments. So, definitely a nice pivot against a Sixers team that still ranks the bottom half of the league in defensive efficiency. Knicks are ninth in pace, Philly's 13th. So, if this game stays close, could be fairly high scoring. Porzingis has come on. He didn't really do much the other night, even with Rose out and Melo getting ejected, which is kind of surprising. He didn't really see many minutes either. And similar to Melo, it's basically just him and Kevin Love at the top of the power forward pool. So I think he'll be popular, and I think he's a fine option in cash games. An interesting GPP fade if you think he struggles with, I don't think he'll be sitting on Embiid much on the defensive end. But if you think he struggles again, he's coming off of a bad game, and he's an interesting tournament fade. And Joakim Noah is kind of out of play here now with Porzingis back and his minutes, back down in around the 20 range. So at his price, he's, maybe a GPP only flyer given the small slate, but it's basically just Carmelo, Porzingis, and that's about it for me on the next side.
Is it becoming a thing where, do we really have to worry about Melo getting ejected? This is the second time this season. I can't say it. I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, this whole Knicks team is just like a mess right now. He may end up getting suspended at some point, but at least we'll have some notice on that one. But I guess maybe Rose in a tournament if you think he's going to come back, he could, I guess, also be in play here. But definitely not somebody you feel comfortable with in cash games right now.
Didn't they say he's going to start I thought I had seen a report that they said he's going to start, and he went back to deal with some family stuff back in Chicago. Like, hey, I'm going to go back home and just not tell anybody. If that happened with us in the real work day, we would definitely get
crazy.
Yeah. All right. Looking at the Philadelphia side here, notorious. What are we doing with the 76ers?
Do you know who had Derrick Rose the other night? I did. All the Derrick Rose. That was awful.
I think everybody had Derrick Rose the other night.
Yeah, and the worst part, I mean, that was the first game, so they should have known 10 minutes before the game started. But
yeah, nobody saw him not come out on warm-ups. Like, no beat writer just, hey, Derrick Rose is not on the floor. Like, just that tweet. Like,
or a fan or something.
Yeah, like, for some reason, Derrick Rose is not on the floor warming up with the rest of the team. Like, that's all we would have needed, you know. I would have got off him at that point.
Yeah, I don't get it. But on the Sixers side, it's a pretty good spot. Knicks aren't very good defensively, 25th in points allowed per game. They have an implied total of 104 points, which is 5 points higher than their average. Sergio Garcia played 12 minutes in his first game back from injury. Sounds like they're going to ease him back in the rotation a little bit. TJ McConnell should still start, and he's had at least 25 fantasy points in four straight. His price is getting a little high for my liking, though, and I do expect Rodriguez to cut into those minutes eventually. Joel Embiid's, you know, obviously the top play here. He's actually topped his 28-minute restriction twice in the last four games. Just ridiculous. 1.35 fantasy points per minute. True usage rate at 35%. We like targeting bigs against the Knicks. They're ranked 28th against centers, so definitely love Embiid in all formats. Nerlens Noel is kind of interesting off the bench, played at least 24 minutes back-to-back games. He's pretty cheap, especially on DraftKings. And then if you want a GPP flyer, I don't mind Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas. He's still under 4K on both FanDuel and DraftKings.
All right. SPK, do you disagree with anything there, you being from Philadelphia and being the only 76ers fan in the world?
Oh, dude, I think the Sixers bandwagon is getting some more people on it. But besides Noto calling Sergio Rodriguez Sergio Garcia at first, I don't have an
issue. Oh, did I call him Sergio? Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, PJ in your brain, man. Yeah. It's back.
Dude, golf's the best. You guys got Sergio Garcia. Oh, gosh.
I get crushed in golf this past weekend, so I'll pass.
That's not that bad, though, Noto.
I'm pulling a Stevie over here.
Hey, look. Yeah. Thank you. Houston at Minnesota, no total in this game. Eric Gordon questionable. Zach LaVine, the big question mark here, dealing with a hip injury. They're saying day-to-day on him. That's a lot of minutes. He is either still leading the league or probably in the top five in minutes per game this season. So that's a lot of minutes to go around. We'll start with Houston. What are we doing with the Rockets on a back-to-back, SBK?
So we don't have a spread for this game yet, but I would expect the Rockets to be one of the highest, if not the highest graded team on the slate. I think all the starters outside of whoever starts at that center spot is probably locked into like 33-34 minutes, even the second night of back to back. Eric Gordon didn't travel with the team, so he will not play. So if they don't really have that many options, they'll probably run an 8-man rotation again. You could see Brewer and Sam Decker get, you know, a little bit more run off the bench, but they're still not, viable DFS options. So it's Harden, once again, coming up on monster triple-double last night. He's definitely still in play here. He's probably the guy that I'm, looking to roster first and in cash games if I had to pick one stud. Trevor Ariza, I don't mind the spot for him. The Timberwolves are eighth against small forwards, but I think, Harden will probably command a little bit more Wiggins' attention, so I'm still fine with him there. He's playing humongous minutes. Better cash game target than a tournament target for sure. But Ryan Anderson is somebody who I was hoping last night would get somewhat of an offensive uptick with Eric Gordon out. Didn't really happen. He's still kind of been underperforming, but it's a pretty small slate, and I could see Jang having a little bit of trouble following him out to the perimeter. So it's definitely somewhere you can look in tournaments. And Patrick Beverley, on the other side of that, he's kind of more of a cash game option, still probably locked into pretty big minutes. So certainly do not mind the matchup here against Rubio. So I think he's a fine option. I wouldn't hate it in tournaments, but, you're not giving yourself a humongous ceiling there. And then at the center spot, we have, Nene's been playing on the second half of back-to-backs recently. I could pretty expect him to do that again tomorrow. And if that's the case, I think Harrell's a GPP-only option, but if Nene were to sit, then, he'd be in a cross-the-board play.
Yeah, I like Harrell here, no matter what. I kind of want Nene to start and Harrell to get those second team minutes, because without Eric Gordon, that's a ton of usage on that second team. We talked about it on the podcast yesterday with Killer B. It's almost 35% usage with that second unit is what Eric Gordon's getting, so there's a ton of usage to go around. James Harden would be, like you said, lock and load type play. And I like the Corey Brewer call. I haven't actually pulled up his price yet, but I know it was $3,000.
I wasn't recommending him. I wasn't recommending him as a play. I'm just saying that I think him and Decker, you know, we'll see more run off the bench. I still don't think I would pull the trigger on Brewer in any format. Decker, I'd probably be a little bit more likely to play him, but I still think they'll end up throwing the starters out there for huge minutes again, and just kind of maybe giving them a little bit of a rest when they get Gordon back.
Brewer played 26 minutes, and he's only $3,000 on DK. I can definitely get behind in a tournament.
He's the worst.
Maybe on DK at $3,000. But
listen,
I
would not Brewer. Pay attention. You know where Corey Brewer went to the school. Like, come on, guys.
The most ridiculous thing about that is he's one of the few athletes that, like, we have, like, posted up on the wall in RG headquarters. Obviously, you guys both know why that is, the Cameron thing.
Right. But, see, at least somebody in the RG office has taste. All right, Minnesota side. Zach LaVine questionable here with this hip injury, notorious. That's a big one if he's out.
Yeah, definitely going to have to keep our eye on LaVine. If we run the Court IQ tool, the biggest usage rate, usage boost goes to Andrew Wiggins when LaVine's out. He sees 7.6% usage boost. And I'll probably be on Wiggins either way, but you got to love him if LaVine's out. I'll probably see close to 40 minutes, and we know the matchup against the Rockets is a good one. I do expect this game to be a shootout. Rockets are playing in the second half of a back-to-back, which is good for the Wolves, and they're playing at home. I'm not too high on Ricky Rubio. Patrick Beverley is one player that I have a lot of respect for when it comes to his defense. He has the second best defensive real plus minus in the NBA. So I'll be fading Rubio. And then I like both of the bigs, Gorgui Jang and Karl-Anthony Towns. Towns is coming off that big game the other night, and Jang is kind of one of those high floor cash game options. I think you use both of them in this matchup against the Rockets front court that's missing their best low post defender in Capella.
Yeah, Gorgui Jang. He's been playing a bunch of minutes too. I think we could take that game out against Dallas last time out and throw it in the woodshed. But for the most part, I like what you're saying here. And Wiggins, man, I didn't realize 37.6% usage rate without LaVine on the floor this year. So that's massive. Like, seeing a plus 7.6% usage rate bump, that's massive.
Yeah, that's huge, especially for a guy that already has such a high usage rate. So, yeah, you definitely want to play Wiggins. I think he's in play either way. But if LaVine ends up being out, we could see Chris Dunn or Shabazz Muhammad in the lineup. So either one of those guys would make interesting value plays if LaVine ends up being out.
All right, moving on. Memphis at OKC, taking on the Thunder. 204.5 total here. OKC favored by 5. No injury news here in this game. Obviously, teams can rest players, but it looks like both teams are going to be full strength. We'll start with Memphis. What are we doing with Memphis against OKC here, SBK?
So Memphis, the Grizzlies team total is right about at 100, where their season average typically is. I think my favorite target here is Mike Conley. We've kind of been playing point guards against the Thunder for a while, and it's been working out pretty well. And Conley has been playing really well since he's returned. He hasn't missed a beat at all. 26.2 usage rate inside the top 40 in the NBA. So, you know, where he's priced at, that's you know, more than enough. That's the point guard spot is the one spot on the floor that the Thunder tend to struggle with. They're 22nd against point guards. They're 8th or better against shooting guards, small forwards, and centers. So I think Conley is the top target, certainly from a dollar per point perspective on the Memphis side. I don't mind the spot for Zach Randolph, but like his price is creeping up. He's $6,000 on FanDuel. I think he's a shade above that on DraftKings. So, you know, a guy that's, you know, not typically going to see more than 26, 28 minutes in a game. It's obviously his usage rate is sky high right now as a bench guy. But, you know, you're really going to probably need him to see an uptick of minutes for some reason in order to really be a strong GPP play. And I also don't really mind Marc Gasol here. I don't think people will look in that direction given the matchup. But he really had no trouble with Steven Adams in the last game between these teams. He almost took a 50 spot, like about 33 or 34 minutes. It wasn't a game that Conley did not play in, so you know his usage rate was a bit higher than it will typically be. But I think Conley's an across-the-board play. You can use him in any format. Gasol's probably better utilized in tournaments. And I don't really like really any of the Memphis wings that the value plays there. I think it'll just be Conley, Gasol. Maybe make a case for Zeebo. That's about it.
Yeah, I do like Conley's matchup. We've seen him go into Golden State, pace up game last week, and I think put up 50-plus fantasy points in that game. So this is same kind of scenario here going into Oklahoma City, playing at a much faster pace. So I do like Conley a lot in this game. Looking at the Thunder, do we play Westbrook, yes or no?
I think I'm going to play him. I think most people will look at the matchup and want to avoid him. Even if they look at his past history against the Grizzlies, it'll probably make them want to avoid him even more. He's had 44, 40, and 25 fantasy points in his last three meetings against Memphis. But he didn't play over 30 minutes in any of those matchups, and he did get thrown out of their last game. And I don't expect that to be the case here. So I think Westbrook's fine. Has one of the highest floors in the slate. On FanDuel, you can afford both Westbrook and Harden on most nights, and that's probably the route I'll be going. I do prefer Harden over Westbrook if I had to choose one. But for the rest of the Thunder, I think it's a good spot to fade Victor Oladipo. He's been playing well recently, but it's the highest price he's been since coming back from injury, and arguably the toughest matchup that he's faced since coming back from that injury. So probably not going to be on him. And then Steven Adams and Enes Kanter both been playing really well. But Memphis has one of the best defensive front courts in the NBA. Not too high on either guy here. Probably prefer Adams over Kanter if I had to choose one.
Since we're a cash player, dude, I would definitely rather take Kanter over Adams tonight. Like, Adams is going to see Marcus All a lot, right? So Kanter is going probably to see the second unit a lot. So, like, if there's anybody that's going to have the upside, wouldn't it be Kanter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to be avoiding both, but yeah, just for the minutes perspective, I think I prefer Adams.
So all you know, what we're saying here is the guy that's in play for Oklahoma City is Westbrook.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's 11-8 on DK tonight, so you know, take that into consideration. They do that dynamic pricing. He was 13,000 against Chicago last game, so like he got a minus $1,200 hit on his salary. So like. He's definitely in play. I'm with you there. Moving on, we have Washington at Boston. No total in this game. Avery Bradley is questionable and Zeller is questionable. It's a back-to-back for Washington. Washington played down to Chicago and almost lost that game against Chicago's scrubs last night. They go into Boston here. What are we doing with Washington, SPK?
Yeah, it's kind of a similar situation to Houston in that a lot of these starters are, you know, we're expecting to see pretty big minutes, and a lot of them are in play again tonight. Both these teams are right around the league average in pace. Both going to be on back end of a back-to-back here. John Wall obviously still in play here, especially if Avery Bradley sits. That would be a slight uptick for his value. I would expect Bradley to follow him around a lot if he is on the floor. Wall, eighth in usage, still not over that 10K mark on FanDuel yet. So I'm definitely fine with him. I think this is probably one of the most stackable games on the slate. So I think, you know, especially in tournaments, even pairing him and Isaiah Thomas up together is definitely interesting. Outside of that, Bradley Beal, he rolled his ankle Sunday, and they had said he was fine, and that kind of came to fruition. He played 37 minutes last night. I'm still a little weary of him on back end of a back-to-back here. There's a slight chance I could see them sitting him. But, you know, we have nothing to go off on that at this point. But I don't think I'm going there. His price is a little bit too high. I think I'd probably rather play him on DraftKings. Even, you know, they have, you know, the roster two shooting guards on FanDuel. And then I think Otto Porter is definitely still in play. Just, you know, seeing humongous minutes every night. Small forward is pretty thin. And I think he'll have one of the better draws, especially the guys that can score on the side. And then we got Markieff Morris, who, after having a great game against Milwaukee on Sunday, proceeded to foul out 22 minutes against the Bulls. Well, that's kind of what you get with Markieff Morris, really never know. So, again, he's a fine tournament play, especially on smaller slates. I think I'm more likely to use him there. And then we have Gortat, who's down to 6,400 again on FanDuel. So I think he's definitely a cash game option across the board.
That's about it. One thing that I do want to note for Washington is I was reading on Twitter is Jason Smith left that game. I know he only ended up playing 23 minutes. Like, if he were to miss the game, I think I like Markieff a little bit more. Those minutes should definitely be locked in a little bit more, so I can get behind that. Looking at the Boston side at Notorious here, if Bradley continues to miss, Isaiah Thomas gets a massive usage. I played him on Tuesday night. I would definitely go back to the well here against Washington. What's your thoughts on Thomas?
Yeah, I think Thomas is in play either way. But like you said, if Bradley's out, definitely just lock in Thomas for both cash games and tournaments. Bradley didn't play last night, but the Celtics say that they're hopeful that he does play tonight. So I can't imagine too much will change in 24 hours, but I guess we'll have to see. If Bradley is out, we can go right back to Marcus Smart. He's had 33, 40, and 35 fantasy points in his last three games. So definitely a good play there, although his price on DraftKings is just ridiculous at 6,300. Jay Crowder, I think I'm finally going to be off of him. I've been playing him with Bradley out, and it hasn't been working, so this is probably the time to hop on him since I'll be off of him. And then Al Horford actually sees the biggest usage boost of any of the five starters with Bradley out, so if you want to take a tournament flyer on him, I don't mind that.
Yeah, if we get news that Zeller misses this game again, Kelly Olynyk is still only 3,600. I talked about him yesterday. Good.
He went talking about him every day.
21 fantasy points or 3,500. What's wrong with that?
No, he's been good, but yeah, every podcast is all winning.
Look at his game log. He continues to put up 20 plus fantasy points. Why? I have to talk about this guy.
No, I'm not giving you. I'm saying he's been a good player.
It's just interesting.
I'm giving you credit here.
Oh well, in that case, yes, that guy. Listen to that. No. All right, moving on. Cleveland at Portland. Do you guys know why there's not a line for this game yet? Like, I don't see any injury news here either.
Probably just because Cavaliers been resting guys.
Yeah, and they're on a back-to-back. That'd be the only thing, right?
Portland's still playing now, too, as we speak. So that could also have something to do with it, I guess. But yeah.
Oh, you mean Julius Randle destroying every freaking fantasy team I built today? Yeah.
Oh man, doing the same thing to me. God, brutal.
Yeah, Doug McDermott was my guy.
Oh, well, Julius Randle's just as bad.
No.
Did you see his line? He has 14.5 fantasy points. Factor in price.
I think McDermott was like negative
still
8.
Probably better.
All right. Cleveland side, SBK, if we get news that nobody's resting, this looks like a really good spot at Portland here.
Yeah, it does look like a really good spot. Portland, 28th in fantasy points per game allowed. I think LeBron is very obvious, but as far as the big three here, I think I'll definitely have the most exposure to LeBron. I think he's got the best, he's in the best spot here in his position, compared to Kyrie, especially point guard's very deep tonight, but there's really not a whole lot to like, especially at the high end small forward. So I think I'll have the most exposure to LeBron here of anybody. But you could certainly make a case, for Kevin Love here too. Portland's dead last against power forwards and DVP, 24th in rebounding rate, which is actually an improvement from where they've been for most of the early season. Given the fact that they typically struggle with rebound the ball, it's improved a little bit since Plumlee's minutes have jumped. I don't think that's a huge coincidence. So I think you can maybe think about Thompson in the tournament, but you're kind of throwing darts there still. But LeBron's got the best DVP draw here. Small forward's thin, and he's the best player in the world. So definitely going to have exposure to him across all formats. He may end up being in tournaments if given the fact that Harden's a fair amount more expensive and also playing on back-to-back. I think I may actually have more exposure to LeBron in tournaments than Harden, which is saying something. So I don't think I'll have a ton of exposure to Kyrie just because I like a lot of the other point guard options a little bit better. Portland has surprisingly been pretty good against point guards this year. So I think it'll mainly be LeBron, some Kevin Love also.
Yeah, I like this matchup for Love. I was shocked you said LeBron has the best DVP matchup. Like, they're awful.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. They both have great DVP draws. But Love's is best. Portland's dead last against power forwards.
They're awful. Like, that's why I had so much Julius Randle. I will definitely go back to the well with Kevin Love. I played him last night. Like, I like the Cleveland stack. It did not work out, and I'm going to stack them again tonight. Looking at the Portland side of things, Notorious, my boy, man, Aminu, he's doing work. Is that how you say his name, Aminu?
Even when you get it right, you kind of get it wrong, which is hilarious. It's just like something about that sounded right.
Aminu.
Yeah, you guys, I'm about to mute both of you. He's been doing work. That's all I'm trying to say. Play the guy. He's doing work.
I'm not gonna laugh. Oh, man. But, yeah, one other note, Kevin Love, last time we played the Blazers, had 34 actual points in the first quarter. So,
All right, yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, gotta
Julius
like
Randle, take notes.
Julius Randle, balling. Yeah, Aminu has been, or Aminu, if you want to pronounce it that way, has been balling. 4,600 on FanDuel, way too cheap. He's seeing minutes in the low 30s. Had another big game last night against the Lakers. So I definitely like him. Damian Lillard, in his last three meeting, or in three of his last four meetings against the Cavaliers, he's topped 45 fantasy points, and he had 63 against them in his last outing. And we know the best way to attack Cleveland is at point guard and shooting guard. So I like him. McCollum's a little expensive for me on FanDuel, but I can get on board on tournaments and on DraftKings at 7,800. And then Mason Plumlee, he's just been playing really well. He's finally seeing minutes in the low 30s. He's only averaging 28 on the year, but I think he's top 30 minutes in three straight prior to last night's game against the Lakers. So I don't mind him. And that's about it on the Portland side.
Yeah, it's high on Plumlee too. Man, what a disaster. The only thing I got right was Deion Waiters. Yeah, whatever. All right, let's move on to the last game of the night. We have the Orlando Magic at LA taking on the Clippers. 209 total here. LA favored by 10. Serge Ibaka and Elfrid Payton are both questionable. That could open up some serious value here, SBK. What are we doing with my awful Orlando Magic?
Yeah, it's tough to say right now given the injury news. Obviously, Payton and Ibaka play pretty humongous roles there. So obviously, you're going to have to track this leading up to lock. If Payton sits, as much as we don't really like to attack Chris Paul, opposing point guards, DJ Augustine is pretty much around minimum price across the industry. So if you're looking for a pump play there, Payton sits, he should be locked into somewhere at least 28, 30 minutes, something like that, with upside for quite a few more. So I'd be fine with him really in any format. I'm not – If all these guys play, I'm probably just going to avoid this Orlando side entirely. The Clippers are very good defensively. They'll have fourth fewest fantasy points per game. They're very tough on guards in general. So I think Fournier is probably someone I'll fade. If Payton sits, he'll be a more interesting tournament target. Aaron Gordon has the best DVP draw here. It's the one spot that the Clippers tend to struggle with. If Ibaka sits, I think he could see more time at the power forward spot, which would seemingly benefit his rebounding production. So I wouldn't mind him in that situation, but I still don't think I would target him if we see Ibaka play. I think Nikola Vukovic is a potential tournament target. Good news here, but he obviously have a nice uptick if either Ibaka or Payton sat. So I think he's definitely somebody to consider. This isn't really a very intriguing side in general, though. So, again, just keep an eye on the injury news. Track DFS alerts, leading up to lock tomorrow night, we'll kind of let you know how to handle that situation.
Yes, for sure. Aaron Gordon, Clippers struggle with athletic small forwards. So I like Aaron Gordon for tournaments a lot tonight, especially if we get news that Payton or Ibaka sit. There should be some usage that goes around. And Aaron Gordon, a guy at 5,200 that has the upside. Looking at the other side of this game, we have the Clippers. They're big home favorites here. Anything stand out to you, Noto?
Yeah, this game as a whole just isn't all that appealing. I do like Chris Paul in tournaments. I think from a cash game perspective, I'd rather go with Damian Lillard, John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, all in that same price point. But Paul is averaging close to 50 in his last three games, and we know how high his usage rate is when Blake Griffin's out. So I don't mind him if you want to look at low on tournament play. I'm kind of avoiding the wings right now with everyone healthy, Rivers, Redick, Felton and Crawford all kind of split in minutes. It's hard to really pick who's going to get that production night in and night out, so I'll probably just be avoiding them. Then DeAndre Jordan, you can look at him in tournaments. I like him better when Chris Paul's active. Most of his baskets come on putbacks or on alley-oops from Paul, and we know the Magic aren't very good against centers. He's only 7,000 on DraftKings.
All right. It's going to kind of do it here for the game-by-game breakdown. As always, we have our game where we every day use DraftKings pricing to pick our favorite 4X or less type bust that is over 7K, our favorite 5X play, our favorite 6X play. Each guy gets a veto, and we're going to go in the opposite order that we went last week. So, SBK, you get the bat lead off here.
Oh, okay. I am going to go. That's a lot. I'm going to go Mike Conley at 6X.
All right. And Noto, you're up second here.
Do we know the results from last week?
I can look at it real quick. Hold on. Go ahead.
All right. I will go.
I'll have to tweet them out. I don't have it written down.
All right. That's just fine. I will go with Damian Lillard, 5X.
All right. Let's see. My 5X guy is going to be Isaiah Thomas. It's an easy 5X. And then my 6X guy is going to be Aminu.
Yes.
he went off again tonight.
I know. He's been awesome.
My man. All right. All right. Noto.
All right. Yeah, it's tough. I'm always so unprepared for this segment of the show.
Me too. You get your freshest answer. First look.
Give me. Let's go. Porzingis 6X.
All right, SPK.
I got Kevin Love 5X.
Yeah, don't even think so. Vito. No all chance. Right. Not against Portland, buddy.
Yeah. Give me Andrew Wiggins at 5X.
No, that's safe too. And all then, right, you got your bust. 4X or less at over 7K on DK.
This one's tough.
This one is tough.
You could take Melo, just hoping he gets ejected in the first quarter.
Not honestly the worst idea. I'm going to go CJ McCollum.
Yeah, well, that's free money. All right, Noto, you have your bust.
I'll go Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, going against my guy here.
It's tough.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. God, like all these guys are going to get 4X today.
Yep.
I'm going to take Joel Embiid.
Oh, I'm vetoing that immediately.
Wait, he's going to get way over 4X.
No, thank you.
I just need – well, did you just like say that thinking I was going to veto? If so, I guess kind of well done. I don't know. there's like still one option here that I think is pretty good for an under 4X that I'm hoping you don't say because then I would feel really dumb.
I think I'm going to take Cat. I definitely like Cat today, but like his price is just $9,500 for Cat is just that's up there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
All right, well that's gonna do it here. All right, Notorious, you had a hanger that you didn't send out a question for a certain reason. Do I even want to know?
No, I got my own Q&A for you guys.
Oh god,
I'm scared too.
Before we do that, we need two things. First, we need to know an update on SBK's food life.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I got like bad news, kind of.
You stopped cooking and you started eating.
Do we want to start with that now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so, you know, I told you guys about going to get the crock pot. So last time I went to the supermarket, I guess last Wednesday, I food shop at Target, which is apparently people tell me is a really dumb thing to do. But this is like a really weird thing that I really don't even tell that many people about. But when I go to the grocery store, like, I refuse to use the cart. Like, I only get, like, the cart you can hold in your hand. Like, I will not push a cart. Like, I will not. I refuse to do it. For some weird reason, I cannot get around it. It's like, impossible for me to get around. Like, I can't do it. So, like, I filled my cart up. Now I'm walking past. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this crock pot. And then, like, it's in a pretty big box. So, I'm like, I can't carry this right now. And then that was the end of that. So, I didn't get the crock pot. But I'm hoping next time I'm going to go back just for the sole purpose of buying it. Maybe it'll actually happen. And then I can tell you guys about all the great recipes I'm cooking up, but that's kind of where we're standing now. So it's still pretty much status quo over here. Just a lot of chicken.
All right, first of all, who shops for food at Target? And second of all,
here, I'll tell you why I answer that question right now, because every Target is the exact same. The Target that I used to shop in Philly, exactly the same as the one I shop in here. I know where everything is before I even walk in. I know what aisles I got to hit.
Dude, if you go to the grocery store four or five times, by that fifth time, you're going to remember where everything is.
Yeah, you've been there a while, man.
Yeah, I have been there a while.
Target is not that is minus EV, my friend. And
I know. No cart? They don't have the selection. Sucks. It's like
no cart.
I can't do the cart. I cannot. I think that's kind of why I like Target too. Is like I go through the whole food aisle. I get what I want, but I still don't. I can still flip. Make that basket work.
Made my day. I got a lot of tweets today about the NASCAR news that dropped this morning. I still have no information of why Carl Edwards just retired out of nowhere. So for the people that are tweeting me about that, there is a press conference from JGR tomorrow around 10 a.m. I definitely have access to that press conference. So I will be following that and hopefully have some news on why Edwards retired out of nowhere. So if you guys are in your prime in your sport, which Carl Edwards is in his prime in his sport, I know you guys don't really follow NASCAR, but so we have a guy that's 37 years old that was in the championship consideration last year. He was leading the race or leading the championship with 13 laps to go before he got into a wreck. He said that it's not health related. He was with the team in December doing the team photo shoot, and then all of a sudden, January 10th of 2017, decides he wants to pursue other things. That's kind of shocking to me as a NASCAR person. You guys as non-NASCAR people, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. It's kind of like Condia just riding off into the sunset in DFS.
Yeah, well, Condia riding off into the sunset with millions of dollars.
Steve, this is a big opportunity for you, man. I think there's something you telling me this right now is the first I've even heard of this Carl Edwards situation. But just from the story you're telling me, there's something bigger going on here, man. I think you should be able to break this story, go undercover, find some stuff out, make a big name for yourself here. This is a big opportunity. You gotta take it.
Zero chance of that happening.
It's surprising. Has he made a ton of money? I guess he's probably loaded.
No, he's NASCAR made a lot of money. They make good money. He's one of the highest sponsored guys in the there's something going on. He's very private. He's the only driver that doesn't have Twitter. Like, he doesn't have social media. He's just a very private guy. So that doesn't shock me too much, but yeah. All right, Notorious, you have the Q&As. I'm taking a nap. What are we doing?
All right, guys, we'll start with some sports ones. Who is your dark horse to win the NBA championship? In other words, can't be the Cavs or Warriors.
Oh, can't be the Cavs or Warriors. Go first. I want to say the Sixers in 2020, but as far as this year.
I'll go first. I think Boston has a good chance. I feel like if they make a trade here at the deadline and pick up one more key player, they have a chance. Same could be said for Toronto, though, too.
Yeah. Toronto's my pick. Let's hear it, Stevie.
I think Houston is an interesting one. Although I feel kind of dumb even saying Houston. I don't know that they'll stack up as well. I could see, like, if we're looking for a very dark horse, maybe Memphis. I mean, obviously it's kind of an easy thing to say after what we saw them do against the Warriors the other night. But they're just kind of a different team than a lot of the other ones at the top of the Western Conference. Outside of maybe the Spurs. So, I mean, in a 7-game series, I could see them doing enough to get by. And going on a run, but I still expect a Golden State Cleveland finals for sure.
All right, let's take a trip back in time. What is your favorite sports memory growing up?
I can go first here again too.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Start with Stevie.
Okay, we'll start with Stevie. Yeah, all right. So it was junior year high school. I played baseball for a Christian private high school, and I had a 19 strikeout, one hitter, and the one hit that I gave up was the worst curveball I've ever thrown in my life because I was starting to get nervous throwing a no-hitter in high school. That The next guy that got up, I pegged it straight in the head. Straight in the head. I was so pissed that you did it. But it broke my school's record for strikeouts in a game, and I still hold that record. So that's definitely still one of my favorite highlights from pitching growing up.
That's awesome.
All right. So for me, I think, like, as far as something I've done personally, I went a perfect 10 for 10 in the first round of a 3-point shootout when I was in 10th or 11th grade. And then I think I only went 5 for 10 in the next round, but still did enough to get by. But I think the thing I remember maybe the most from just sporting events in general was I went to a Phillies Cardinals game. I remember when I was probably even younger than that, maybe like 8 or 9 years old. And we went, like, when I used to go to games with my dad when we were young, like when I was young, we would go down early and watch batting practice, try to get autographs, stuff like that. So like the Cardinals were out on the field. And I remember Mark McGwire was standing at first base and somebody had, you know, they were doing like a little bit of infield practice, which you kind of don't see as much anymore. Big league games, but they were doing that and he got overthrown and we were standing like on the first baseline and a ball came like straight pretty much from my head. And some lady, like a lady like stopped the ball from like literally probably drilling me straight in the head and potentially like killing me. It's crazy. A woman just like completely saving the day. Mark McGwire, he could have called it, could have jumped a little bit higher. Needed a lady to save him.
Dang.
Yeah. I have nightmares about it. Sometimes I wake up and it's the last thing I see is the legs of the baseball coming at me and Mark McGwire looking over. And
I thought your nightmare was just, you know, because you shop at Target for food.
I thought it was going to be a good sports memory.
Well, I mean, it's just the one that's the most vivid from, I guess, when I was like maybe before 10 years old. So.
All right, we're moving on. Most cherished win in DFS.
Oh, man, now it's tough. It would probably, for me, listen, we're starting with Stevie, SBK.
All right, well, Noah's got to be a better host. And like, you got to tell me, like, hey, Stevie.
No, he already
told you. We spun that last question.
Yeah. All right, it's just like, I didn't know it was a going forward thing. I might switch it up.
This guy, man. I wonder why he's always late to podcast. Dude, you had a perfect opportunity to say, "Hey, Stevie, you're late today." Like, you host the podcast. You're late today.
I don't sell out my boys though. You know, I'm
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
This list of questions is long, so we need some quick answers here.
Oh, you have a list of questions?
Oh yeah,
you must have been super bored at the dealing with all that stuff this week. But all right, yeah. So this one's easy for me. It's the first time I ever won a live qualifier. I remember exactly where I was at, like. You know, I ran into the room and had to wake people up, you know, the first time I qualified for the Playboy Mansion. So that would definitely be mine.
Yeah, so I'm not like a big GVP guy. And I don't play qualifiers or anything like that. But I think my first DFS win, like just the first time I played, like the fact that I won on the first night. I still remember I was in college. Anderson Varejao was on the Cavs. He was like 14K on Draft Street. Where we went off for like 40 something Draft Street points. And the first time seeing those green numbers on the right side of that Draft Street page, I was in love immediately.
Never once. Right.
Yeah. I don't have any impressive wins, so that's pretty much the best I got. Not a big GPP guy. I haven't been, at least, until recently.
No, you need to answer that question. Like, you've had some big scores.
Yeah, so this wasn't my biggest score, but I think my most cherished win would probably be back on draft day. I won their big bracket qualifier thing. A 64 man filled. It was like 5,000 was the value of the seat. Anyway, won all the way and ended up winning it all. So that was pretty cool.
That makes sense for you.
Yeah, but it was baseball. I think it lasted like a week and a half or something.
No, I mean, like, how many years ago did that happen?
Oh,
I think I remember that.
When draft day was relevant.
Yeah, that was the 3 or 4 years ago for sure.
Interesting that we mentioned old defunct sites as our best memories.
Mine was too. Mine was Star Street.
There we go.
Wow. That's something.
All right, guys. If you guys won the Millionaire Maker, what would you do with your winnings? And you can't save it.
You can't save any of it, so you'd have to spend all of it the next day?
Yep.
Well, that's easy for me. I'd buy a Dodge Viper. I would buy a new house, and I would, and you said you can't save it. Can I pay for my kids' college like that day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then that's what I would do.
I think I don't know if that would be my first purchase, but it might be on the list somewhere.
Target's shopping center.
Yeah. So maybe I wouldn't have to worry about even going there anymore. Just walk in like in my own living room. But I'd definitely buy a house, no doubt about it. Especially I'm like now, like kind of at the age where I'm starting to like think about it. And obviously, anytime you're playing defense, especially on an NFL weekend, like you're always thinking about that at least, a couple times throughout the year. I think I definitely would invest a large portion of that into a house. I don't think I'd buy a car. I don't even own a suit, so I think like the first thing, one of the first things I would do is go get like a really, really nice tailored suit. Maybe a handful of them. I think those would be the first two things I'd probably try to buy.
All right, yeah, I'd buy a house with all the fixings the wife wants, and then I'd buy my mom a car just because all the cool athletes say that. So I think that's cool.
That's a good one. I like that.
I'm in the process of buying a house right now. It is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun
at all. All right, quick answer. Who's your favorite person to follow on Twitter?
Oh, see, this changes for me all the time. Like, it was DHP for the longest time. Dan, yeah. It's hilarious. But, like, I don't know. I kind of get joy of watching Siege and DC, like, troll each other every day.
Yeah, that's a good one. SBK.
I think Joel Embiid. Does this, like, have to be in the DFS industry?
Yeah, Embiid's awesome.
He's amazing. I mean, he's, like, one of the best. You see, like, he got Sam Hinkie to come out of Twitter. He hadn't tweeted in quite a while. So he even got him to come out. So there's some pretty awesome. Like Marquette King is the Raiders punter. He's pretty hilarious on Twitter. I wish Bill Walton tweeted more. I just see things about him on Twitter that like I laugh at like every single one of them. He's one of the funniest guys just out in sports in general. I think Embiid takes the cake for me.
Yeah, I think that's good. For DFS, my favorite funny follow is Baseball's DFS. He's kind of the new DHP of the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, favorite TV series of all time?
Oh, of all time. I have, like, two. Like, as a kid, it would definitely be Saved by the Bell. But as I got older, like, man, there's two that I watch, like, all the time. Two and a Half Men and White Collar are probably my two favorite shows.
Interesting. I think I'd go Lost, though. I'd go Lost. Seinfeld is definitely up there. So it's Breaking Bad. I could see just finished its rookie year, but I could see Westworld making a run at some point in the future. But I think right now it's still Lost for me. That was – especially the first couple seasons of that show were unbelievable.
Yeah, loved Westworld. Talked about it last time. Breaking Bad was great. I'm going to go with The Office. I could watch that all day.
That's good, too.
All right. When you brush your teeth, do you get the toothbrush wet first or you just go dry with the toothpaste?
Oh, you always get it wet first.
Yeah, dude, what kind of question is that, man?
Right. Just making sure you guys aren't kind of weird.
Right? What do you shop for food at Target?
No, you got to wet the
toothbrush. I'm not that insane.
All right, crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Yeah. Depends on a sandwich, like smooth, no, but like depends. On crackers. On crackers, it's the crunchy.
SBK.
I think that's pretty much fair. I don't. Have you guys ever had cookie butter? You know what that is?
Cookie butter?
Huh?
Yeah. The first time I ever bought it, I remember one of my roommates in college worked at like Trader Joe's, and he brought that back one time. And I've been seeing it at the. You know, if you guys want to extend your selection a little bit, Target sells very good cookie butter. It's like it's like kind of tastes like gingerbread. It's amazing. I put it on like English muffins or something in the morning. It's great. But I just for the first time got crunchy cookie butter last time I went to the store, and I like that a lot. I don't really ever buy crunchy peanut butter. I think I'd go pretty much creamy across the board there. But if you guys haven't tried cookie butter, definitely give it a shot. You will not regret it.
Did you get that at Target?
I did. It's called like Biscoff, I think is the company that makes it. I forget. It's got a kind of a cool looking label. You almost like want to like leave it out like on your counter so people see.
I can't have cookie butter. I'm on a diet. What are you doing to me?
All right, this is just trying. Inspired by SBK, are you usually late, early, or right on time?
Always early.
I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. I think anybody that knows me has known me for any, like, in any setting, like, social, like, I'm just, like, awful at time. Like I get my stuff done for sure. That's never a question, but maybe I procrastinate like as bad as anybody.
My girlfriend is always late. Her family is really bad about it too. It drives me bonkers.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always late. Farnsworth, all of us are always late, and my friends and hate it. But yeah, all right. We're getting to the end here. Name the one song you were obsessed with in high school.
Oh, man.
Takes you back into the day.
Dude, the song that I listened to the most was probably that One Wish song by Ray J.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah.
That song would be one of the ones I listened to a lot. Like, I had baseball songs that, you know, you listen to. But, like, that song, and there's a – I know you guys don't know this. I got to look up the name of the song again. I forget the name. Go ahead, SPK, while I look up the name of the song.
So, especially when I was in high school, I used to – you guys know who Mace is, the rapper? I'm assuming you do, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I think there was Welcome Back, obviously, which is definitely a little bit better known song. There was another one. I can't even remember the name of it now. How freaking long that was. I think Welcome Back might have been the one I listened to the most of, but I listened to a ton of Mace. I haven't like listened to him in like, probably like, a good 5 or 6 years. I'm going to have to go back after the show and reminisce a bit.
All right, the song that I was talking about, they used to play it before our basketball games when at the Christian school I went to. It's called Turn This Up by T-Bone.
I don't think I know that song, but T-Bone is just a whole kind of funny name.
Yeah, like if you ever wanted to get like super pumped up, yeah, that's where I would go.
All right. Mine was Air Force Ones. Every basketball game.
That's a good one, man. Nelly, that's a good one.
Solid.
Nelly, yeah. Nelly, you do Yin Yang Twins. That was, I used to love them in like that same era too. It's a name I had not thought of in a while. For some reason, that song just like brought it back.
All right, final question for the viewers: what's the hardest thing for you to give up if you had to?
Yeah, it's tough. Like, what do you mean? There's a bunch of stuff you have to give up.
So, if you smoke or drink or DFS or whatever.
I don't know. That one's tough.
You want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
I think candy, honestly. Like, if you were told me, like, I could never have any sour candy again, like, that would – I don't know how I would, like, react to that. Like, I don't know if I could keep going. I went to the mall and returned something the other day and walked, like, literally 45 minutes to this, like, random little kiosk that sells these, like, sour, like, belts, like, ropes, like, all these different flavors.
Now we know why you go to Target.
No, I didn't. This wasn't a Target. This was like at this mall. I had to return something after Christmas, and I'm like, no. I saw like a little sign of this candy place. I'm like, I am just heading straight there. Unfortunately, it was on the complete other side of the mall, but that did not stop me for a second. So I think sour candy. If you told me I couldn't have that again, there would be no reason to live.
I think mine would probably be wearing hats. I wear a hat every day, so that would be my hardest thing to give up.
Yeah, that would be mine too. Hats. I wear hats all the time.
Are you serious?
Straight up, dude. I would not take a job that I couldn't wear a hat.
I don't think I could give up eating out either. I eat out way too much. But
yeah, I love to cook. As bad as that sounds, I love to cook.
That sounds great.
I do that at night, like for dinner. But I tend to like go out for lunch most days of the week for sure. Same with the weekends.
All right, guys, that's all I got for you.
All right.
I enjoyed that. No, I thought it was a good time.
Yeah. Now, if SBK ever brought anything to the podcast,
yeah. SBK.
I didn't know that I was going to walk in with these questions. I've been, you know, just saying that it would have been kind of cool if you like shot him over to me, maybe like a half hour. I was like, hey, man, just like, you know, give these a glance, you know.
No, so like, think about it. Notorious, do you have a busy day that you're just you don't like move from your computer? I know you do a lot of writing and stuff, but like Wednesday for me. Like, I sit on my computer all day Wednesday, and with NFL, you know, coming to an end, like, it's Wednesday is that day. I don't leave my computer.
Yep, Wednesday is that day for me, too. Usually there's, like, 9 or 10 basketball games. Supposed to got to get NFL up. And then golf, got to make changes to my golf lineup. So, yeah, definitely Wednesday as well.
So every Wednesday, like, we look for, like, slow cooker meals because I'm home all day. So I last week I told you guys I did that balsamic pork chops and then SBK failed of getting a slow cooker. this week it's balsamic chicken, you know, with some onions and some tomatoes. It sounds so good. I'm excited for freaking dinner now.
That does sound very nice. You should invite us over one time.
Anytime, guys. Yeah. Anytime you're in Florida, you guys are more than welcome to hit the golf course with me.
Oh, want to play next time you're up in Nashville.
For sure. All right, well, that's going to do it. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, either one of you guys?
Nope, SBK, you got the Q&A next week.
I can do the Q&A next week, yeah. How many questions did you ask us?
I don't know.
All right, I'll come up with like between 5 and 10, somewhere in that range.
All right,
well, that's going to do it here for the Morning Grind podcast for the 11th of January. We'll be back tomorrow to talk football and basketball on the Thursday podcast with Siege. Good luck in your contest tonight, and we'll see you again tomorrow.